So here's where we're at. We are in the series that, guess what, we might be getting to the end of it sometime soon. But we've realized that as we look around, some of our friends are not okay, but they will be. They will be when I bring them to Jesus. Okay, so for those of you who are new, this is something we've been doing for the last 5 weeks, and this is week number six. And we've been looking at this process, if you remember this from last week, where I'm not going to do this. I'm tired of doing this. Okay, we're going to play a game of tag. Okay, Caitlin, won't you come up? Caitlin is going to share what this is about in terms of this process. And then she's going to tag someone. You'll come up, grab the mic. You will share the next step, and then you will tag someone. Okay, here we go.
Okay, so basically the step identify is to look around your friends, your neighbors, all the people around you, your family, and see who you'd like to start leading to God. So that's it.
Okay, so the next step is pray. So you got to pray about it and pray with your friends and pray for your friends. 5 minutes minimum every day. At 5 o'clock.
Then you chill with the person. You like, just like, hello, dude, what's up? Yeah, big up. I want to tell you about Jesus. No, that's not how you do it, by the way. That's like epic fail first. Whoever does it next is going to tell you.
You maybe want to tell your friends, oh, what are you doing this Friday? Maybe want to go catch a movie, go bowling, or just bring them here. You know, you get to know them. You guys get that close relationship with them so that you can eventually lead them to God.
Let me just see if I remember this. What's this? Listen. Okay, basically you just listen to their story. You ask them, so what's your story? And you just listen. You take it in, process it, and then you just know more about them.
After you have listened to their story, there will be a time where you have to share your own story. And I would basically share how I got saved. Awesome. And where I've got saved. And
you then tell them God's story, like how he created the earth and Adam and Eve, and then in the garden, and then they sinned. Mm-hmm. So that's where sin started. And then God forgives you.
How does he do that? How can he do that?
Because he died on the cross.
Okay, contrary to popular belief, I think invite means you invite them to the kingdom. I think maybe that's the reason Seto has his hand out trying to reach to you and like pull you through the screen. You see? Yeah.
You can invite people to youth, to church, to a Christian concert. But what we're trying to say with the series is that that's not our first thought. Okay? What we want to do is start this process and bring people into the kingdom. If a tool at a certain point is bringing them to youth and that's appropriate, hey, do that by all means. But don't do that just because. So, a review of last week, because exams are frying our brains, although the matriculants don't seem to have brain fry. So here's why we invite. Because we said there's only two places where you can live eternally, heaven or that hot place. There's no other place. There's not a chilly in between. Teenage friendly, you know, loving marshmallow place. There's only two places. And Jesus is the one who's inviting people to come follow him to walk across the bridge of life that we've been talking about. And we invite by maybe asking a question. So where are you? You know, there's that bridge there and there's you on the one side, God on the other. Where are you? Are you moving across? Do you want to move across? Have you already moved across? If the person seems ready to enter the kingdom. I love that phrase that Vincent used. You invite them into the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. There's only really two kingdoms. Pick one. It's like, it's not even one of those hard multiple choice, A, B, C, D. Let's just pick that. You want to stay with that horny dude? You can stay with him in the pitchfork. He's going to be prodding you for all eternity. But if you want to be with the Lord, and you're going to be at the marriage feast of the Lamb one day, it's going to be awesome. There's going to be lamb chops, the whole thing. Then all they need to do is admit that they are a sinner. Some point in my life, I have to admit, as who was saying that? Bianca was saying that in the garden when they sinned, all of us, it's like we were there. I don't know if I made a big deal of this, but it's like we were in Adam and Eve. You know, when Eve was picking that fruit, disobeying God, if I was there, I would have done the same thing. I'll pick that baby fruit and eat it myself. I mean, even if Luke was there, Luke, you would have probably picked that. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's built into us. Because we want to pick the fruit, Don't pick the fruit. And then secondly, it's believing that Jesus died for us, that he gave his life. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. If you're caught in a riptide at Brighton Beach on the bluff in Durban, and you've been taken out past the most treacherous rocks, many a surfer has had his board snapped in half. Because when the wave sucks up, it might look lovely, but as it sucks up and you're coming down the wave, all you can see in front of you is bone dry rock. It's a time to bail from your board. You don't want to keep going down because you're going to be in a hard time. And if that riptide pulls you out, you can't save yourself if you're drowning. You need some dude in red underpants to swim out and to slap you, which is the first thing they normally do. They just slap you because you're struggling. You're trying to save yourself. And as long as you're trying to save yourself, that lifeguard is going to die himself. Because when you're pulling him down to the bottom of the ocean, there's no King Neptune down there like, oh, welcome to my kingdom. This is like really cool. You know what I mean? Oh, I can breathe underwater. I don't know. Didn't know I could do that. No, you can because help, I'm a fish. You know, no, you're drowning. You need to believe that Jesus did something that is able to save you. You need to confess Jesus is Lord. And we'll actually focus a little bit more on that this morning. Then he is the Lord. And when I say Jesus is Lord, he's the boss. He'd be the boss of me, as we did in a previous series somewhere. And then I'm ready to come and to express that in a prayer. I want to say that it's not this prayer that saves me. You can mouth that prayer, and you can go on and live like a child of hell for the rest of your life. It's not a magic incantation. But when you get to grips with the fact and you express it to God, Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that there's nothing that I can do that can save myself. And so I look to you. I put my trust, my hope in what you did for me. And because you died for me, I don't have to try and save myself. And I receive the free gift of eternal life. And I thank you in advance, Mark. It's that sense of, this is what I believe. This is what I own. So it's not a magical formula or something, but it's that, hey, this is real. This reflects my life. And so I'm wondering now, as we kind of get to this, what could well be, it's certainly the last Sunday this term. Next week we'll be taking a break because it's the holiday time. Most of you are traveling. And I wonder what, if there's something else. What do we do after they've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you just push them out of the delivery room, or what do you do? Step number nine, believe it or not, is to help them grow. Okay? So I want to be like a big brother. I want to help the little dude. I mean, yesterday I was out with my six-year-old. We went shopping. And all these like jean pants have got holes in them. So I said, Drew, nice time to buy a new jean pant, except. So we went down, and he's six. So what do you think I think as a good father? I'll buy a 6 to 8 year old jean pant. No, 9 to 11, 9 to 10 to 12 or something. But he's got some really nice jean pants. I'm clothing the dude. I bought him shoes that are like really stylish. Okay, he's not wearing it today because they're painting downstairs. They had to wear old clothes. I even bought him socks. Okay, I bought the wrong size socks, but he can stretch. I mean, how hard is it to stretch? And so there we are, and we're having muffins and coffee and like fruit juice. I am involved in his life. I'm helping him grow. Now, I know it's because I'm a dad, but I kind of play that role. If someone's come to know Christ through me, I want to be involved in their lives. Why? Think about this for a moment. Why should we do this? Well, I want to suggest that they can't grow on their own. A baby can't grow. A baby is absolutely pathetic. A baby giraffe is amazing. A baby hippo is amazing. A baby antelope will start jumping around the moment it falls out of the mother. Immediately. Why? Because it knows that there's a lion right there. They literally are on their feet within minutes. Try that with a human baby. I mean, if this was a picture of your baby just having been born, aw, that baby is pathetic. It just lies there. It can't change its own poo nappy. It can't feed. It's pathetic. You have to do everything. You have to get the boogers out of its nose. I mean, here's a word of wisdom. You feed the baby powdered milk without any water. And then you just dust its bum. And that's the easiest way of parenting a little baby. But you have to be there. It can't even walk 9 months later. That's about the time that most of us walk, some of us. Girls are very slowed up. They only walk at 12 months. They're pathetic. Pathetic. Except Hannah. Secondly, they cannot defend themselves. They are defenseless against enemies that will attack like a virus or something like that. And the devil is just waiting. Here's the deal. I was reading a comic book this week, and it was about Jesus telling the story about a farmer who goes out to plant his seeds. So he scatters seed, and the birds come immediately, and they grab and gobble the seeds. What happens next? Some of the seeds falls on rocky soil. They grow for a little bit, but they wither. There's no roots. Another group of seeds falls in the middle of weeds, and the weeds come and choke it, like, and the seed and the little bush can't grow. And the last one actually produces stuff. And the disciples are like, huh? What the heck are you talking about? You know, I'm a tax collector. I don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. So he actually goes and explains the seeds are my message about the kingdom of God. And if people don't understand it, the devil swoops down like the bird and devours my words before they can grow. That's what happens. The devil is the quickest person on planet Earth to get to a new believer. He's like there immediately. And he's like, that didn't really happen, did it? You know that like warm, fuzzy feeling? Nah, you probably had too much milkshake. That God's not real. Oh, come on. This is just fairy tales, man. You believe in God now? I mean, that's like believing in the Easter Bunny. I'm like, devil, if I believe in you, I sure as heck going to believe in God, because he done whipped your butt. I read the end of the book. You're finished. You're going to fry for eternity. But most of us are like, oh, yeah, it's true. Maybe it wasn't true. And the seed is pulled away. The devil is like a roaring lion, running around, seeking who he may devour, shooting his arrows of doubt and unbelief at us. Don't you think that's just the coolest picture? There was like this pause in the universe when I found that this week. And I left the guy's signature on the bottom, but you can't even see it, because I thought he deserved his signature, some doofus. Secondly, thirdly, they need strong foundations. They need to be rippling with muscles as soon as possible. Even if they're girls, they need muscles. They need firm, solid foundations. Now, you all know that story that Jesus tells about the two, the wise guy and the stupid guy, the pathetic guy. The one guy builds his house on the rock, the other guy builds his house in the sand, and the rains come, flooded away. I mean, spare a thought of mine. Would you like to move into that house and live in that house? Have you seen the guys on Durban beachfront? If you ever go back to Durban, there's guys that build sculptures of like crocodiles and stuff, young guys. And obviously you've got to part with your moolah, you know, and your airtime to them, because that's why they do it. But would you rather live in that house, or would you rather live in that house, the house on the rock? I think I would maybe live in neither, maybe inland a bit, because when the tsunami comes. But that's the one I would probably prefer, just because I need to choose one or the other. Number four, why do we need to grow new believers? Because they need to, in turn, begin to reach out to their friends so that they are touching other people's lives. So I've got this little, like, karate figure guy, and he's like this Jesus guy, right? Let's say it's one of you. This is James. And James has heard the gospel message. He's become a believer. He's a yellow belt believer now. And he begins to pour his life into a couple other people, the ones known as Naruto. You know, James's normal friends and stuff. And so what he does is he touches their lives. And the implication is that they, in turn, are going to touch other people's lives. And others are going to be touched through him. Each one of those three that he touches are going to be touched. I mean, if you do the math, we could probably have everyone touched from this group within maybe 20 years, if that. Everyone could have heard the gospel if each of us faithfully do our job. But here's what we do. We get the message, this great secret, and we keep it to ourselves. Like, we don't want to be passing this on. This might dilute the message. You know, those other people in the world, like some of them swear and drink and smoke. Don't pass the message to them. They're going to mess up the message. No, Jesus says, like, pass it on. Sprinkle the seed. Help them grow before. And it's disciples who makes disciples. Look at that big dude. I mean, he's faithfully getting all the other little critters into the kingdom. If you're a disciple, you should be making a disciple. If you're not making a disciple, you're not a disciple. Squat. Bottom line. If you're not making a disciple, you're not following Jesus. You're just taking a walk. You're spitting into the wind, which doesn't work unless you spit to the side. You spit up into the wind or straight forward, you're going to get spit in your face. If you're not making disciples, you're either just really tired, you need a break, or you're not a disciple of Jesus. Bottom line, go and make disciples of all nations now that you're a disciple. So how do we do this? Okay, so I'm feeling all guilty now. Oh, shucks, I'm not making a disciple. What do I do? Okay? I'm going to suggest that there are five pillars to a firm foundation. There also happens to be five pillars to Islam, but I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm not Muslim. Yet. Ever. But there are five pillars. Where does this come from? What are these five pillars? Vincent, you should know what those five pillars are. Do you have any idea? No, those ones there. I'm going to have my two lovely assistants, Uzo and Caitlin, come and grab a seat on the hot seat, and we are going to talk you through some of the foundations that you need. Now, you've got to remember all this because you're going to do all this in the next few weeks with this person that you've invited to receive Jesus. There are five areas, okay, that will lay down a solid foundation so that when the rains come, this person doesn't shipwreck. And the first one is lordship. Lordship is about Jesus being the Lord, Jesus as resident in your life. There's even a verse that we're going to hear about. What does it mean that Jesus is resident?
Colossians 1 verse 27 says, God wanted his people throughout the world to know the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ living in you, giving you the hope and of glory.
So there seems to be this mystery that Christ would actually come and live in us. That when I receive Jesus, he takes up residence in my life. He eats what I eat. He's in there. Okay, he's a spiritual being, obviously, but our two beings are merged into one. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Get it? And so that's the one side, and it's only one side of the coin. In each of these, you'll see, if you only have one side of the coin, you don't have the whole thing. You have to have this other side where Christ is not just resident, which is good, but Christ has to be president. Listen to this.
Six. Why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I tell you?
Ouch. Jesus says, you guys are walking around saying, Jesus is my Lord, but you don't do what I say. If I tell you to do something, you're the Lord. I'm going to do it, right? What has Jesus told you lately that you haven't done? Ouch. He is Lord. Make Jesus both resident by inviting him into your life and then declaring that he is Lord and that he is going to be the president of your life. There's another foundation that I want to speak about, and it's the foundation of grace. Now, you're remembering all this, right? And the verses, because you're going to repeat it all this week. There's two aspects, two sides of the coin. The one is that I'm actually saved by grace. What does that mean?
Romans 3, verse 23 to 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ.
So I'm a sinner. I can't do anything about it myself, but Jesus has died, and he justifies me. You've heard that phrase, justified, means just as if I'd never sinned. Jesus makes me just as if I'd never sinned. He justifies me. He makes me right in God's eyes. He declares me justified or righteous in God's eyes. It's by grace. It's not a work. It's not something I do. Even though I might pray, I might align my life, it's all about what Christ has done. So we've been encouraged this morning to be saved by grace, but I think there's another aspect to grace that some of us overlook. It's about living by grace, not just being saved by grace, but living by grace.
Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age.
That first part of the verse is talking about Caitlin's part of this thing, the whole saved by grace. This grace has appeared that saves us. But it's also something that enables us to live a godly life, to say no to worldly passions. So this grace of God continues to work in our lives. It's an ongoing work. It doesn't end once I'm saved, okay? So God's grace is always flowing into your life. Remember that. The third one is repentance. Repentance is being sorry for our sins. It's about turning from our sins. Listen to the scripture.
2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death.
So there is this sorrow over our sins that leads us to repentance. That's the one side. If it ends there, it doesn't go far enough. There's another side to repentance. It's about turning to God, aligning ourselves, or turning away from sin, and living to please God every moment of our lives. Listen to Uzzah.
Ezekiel 18:30-31. Change the way you think and act. Turn away from all the rebellious things that you have done so that you will not fall into sin. Stop all the rebellious things that you are doing. Get yourselves new hearts and new spirits.
That was said to the people of God. It wasn't said actually to the pagans, people who weren't following God. This was to people who were professing to follow God. Repentance is an ongoing thing. It is living in a radically different way to what I lived before I came to know Jesus. And so I'm going to be checking with God. God, how do you want me to live? Am I living in a way that pleases you? Any child that wants to gain an inheritance one day is probably going to seek to obey their parents. You want to inherit the family house and the car and the jewels? Then I think you want to live in a way that's going to make your parents proud, ne? And if not, they might just cut you out of the wall and stick me in the wall instead. You know, I'm still waiting for some little old ladies to put me in the wall. But obviously these kids are living in repentance. The fourth one is baptism. And it's baptisms because there's at least two baptisms. There's baptism in water that we're going to hear about now.
Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I'm sure you've seen times during worship downstairs where people do that crazy thing in a freezing cold winter's morning. They'll actually stand up, introduce themselves, tell you why they're going to get water baptized, and then they'd go and take a swim behind there. It's about identifying their lives with what Christ did in his death. So it's like a death and a resurrection, okay? A burial under the water and a resurrection. Water baptism is mandatory for everyone who's a follower of Jesus. Okay, and if you haven't heard this yet, then you need to speak to us and say, hey, I'm a candidate. You know, I'm seeking to be a follower of Jesus. I want to obey Jesus. But there's another baptism that Uzzah is going to share with us.
Spirit baptism. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
So as this person comes to know Jesus, there's a point in their lives in which they're going to be water baptized. There's another point in their lives around the same time, anywhere there. It's not like, well, you have to wait 6 years, make sure you're a real believer, start tithing or something. But right away, you can open yourself up to God coming and baptizing you, dipping you, like, by his Spirit into the life in Christ in God. And it is generally followed by the dramatic sign, the gift of speaking in tongues. And until that's happened, I fear that there's a defenselessness in us. Because if we're not water baptized, if there's not that sealing that takes place, if there's not that indwelling and power by the Holy Spirit, it's just possible that we find ourselves on the battlefield unarmed and unable to stand up against the attack of the evil one. Okay? You're remembering all this because you're going to have to deliver this week. Now, there's the fifth pillar is the church. There's two sides. One is attending. Let's start there.
Hebrews 10, verse 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up, meeting each other, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and they are, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
So he says, don't stop coming to youth, okay? He knew about Ignite Youth, and that's why he's saying, you need to come to Ignite Youth. It's important, whether it's Sundays, you know, whether it's like Friday nights. If you head off to campus next year, Vincent, then you need to go to like UJ or the Great Hall at Wits, whichever university you're at, and you need to go and join up with the brothers and the sisters that are worshiping there, because this is going to lay solid foundations in your life. But it's not just enough to pitch up and to occupy the chair, because all you're then doing is you're wearing out the seat. Okay? You need to go further into serving.
1 Peter 4, verse 10 to 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ.
So we're going to find our place in the body. We're going to serve using our spiritual gift. Thank you to you too. Now here's what I'm going to have you do. Because now, I said you must remember all that, right? Okay, who's going to be the first person to come up and share all that and all the verses? You should have memorized them as they shared it. Who's first? Okay. The new guy. No, I'm just kidding. How are we going to remember all this? Who feels like you remember 10% of this? You had your hand up. How are you going to remember it? I can send it to you. She's going to write it down. You what? And you got some of them. And the verses. So what are we going to do? This is a problem, isn't it? Don't you think we have a dilemma here? Because I'm going to tell you there's more. Before you're done, they need to start reading the Bible. So you need to help them do that, right? So they need to check God's status sometimes. Find his status updates. Secondly, they need to tweet a bit as well. Because they have to pray. They got to speak to God. Thirdly, they got to go gather other friends and befriend them, okay, on the God book, because they need to share the truth of God with others. And so you need to teach them a whole lot of that stuff. How the dickens are we going to remember all this? Because it's like, I'm not going to tell you this all again this morning. It's too late. It's too late. Ah, guess what? It's all been hidden in a book. You got a copy of this last week. There were some of you that didn't get one, maybe. Okay, and if you didn't, you need to make sure that you go downstairs and grab one. I have only this one here. In this book is two sections. Chapter 1 to 4 kind of deals with getting people to that place where they're saved. And the power of this book is chapter 5 to 12, which is exactly what I've shared, or a version of it, this morning, in helping to lay down solid foundations. So guess what? You don't have to memorize it off by heart. Yeah, it'd be great if you do. But you can simply work through this on your own. That's why you were given a free copy. If you don't work through it on your own, you've got to pay back 2,325 rand and 99 cents. It's a commitment you made last week. Don't you remember making that commitment when I gave it to you, you at the front door? It's there in the inside, okay? So you start working through this, and you can use that to help someone else gain foundations in the faith. And so that's where we're at now, from the top left. We're identifying, praying, chilling, connecting, listening to their short story, sharing our story, telling God's story, inviting them, not really to youth, but inviting them to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and then helping to grow them to spiritual maturity and faith in the Lord. And my challenge to you, as it's been this whole series, is keep working with your lost friends. Anyone who doesn't know Jesus, until they are okay for eternity. They're not going to get okay for eternity by osmosis. It's not... And only Vincent knows what osmosis is, okay? It's got something to do with body odor and stuff. That's not going to get them to Christ. You need to walk alongside your friends, and this is painting the town red. Are you up for the challenge? I know you say yes, but it's scary and it's hard. You know, that yes needs to be like, yes, Lord, but help my unbelief. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And it's very easy to say that in here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And someone confronts me at school and says, so are you one of those Christians? Why are you a believer? I'm like, no, that's James Pierce. You know, that's Mangalisu from the youth group. I think you like misidentified us, you know? But if someone asks you, then I want to be like, I'm not ashamed. I am going to do whatever it takes to identify, pray, chill, and connect. What comes next? Listen, share, tell, invite, grow. You got it. Next term, we want to look deeper at how do we talk? How do we converse? How do we help people through blockages? And how do we actually talk credibly? I don't know if you've ever listened to a radio station and a Christian phones in. Sometimes they can sound like, oh, dude, you're not communicating. Bro, you're like, it's not a Sunday morning sermon. You know, this is like people that think here. And so how do we do that? How do we converse in a credible way that will have impact on people's lives? Okay, you up for this challenge? Let me pray that you will be. Father, I thank you for what you've given to us. You've given to us, Lord God, a challenge to pass on the faith to other people. And Lord, maybe we haven't been as faithful as we could have been. Maybe we haven't had the tools, but Lord, you've given us great understanding along this journey. And we pray, Lord, that you will enable us to be the kind of believers who will make disciples of other people. Thank you, Lord, for what you've taught us today about the necessity of ensuring that people, that we help people grow to spiritual maturity, because surely they can't do it on their own. And so we bless you for who you are and all that you mean to us. And we do pray, Lord God, that we would be found faithful to deliver to others what has been passed on to us. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.